Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am a man who is glad that you are with me because you get an opportunity to get empowered. That's right. You're in time for a conversation on keys to dynamic living.
Yes, indeed.
And who's bringing it to us? You heard his voice, Mr. Brennan Francois. How you doing, sir?
Carl, it is a joy being here with you today. I am doing super.
Well, I tell you what, this has been a day of empowerment that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm serious now. I hope you'd be ready to, if you're in a place where you can do this, take some notes. You know, you got your pads with you and you got your notebooks and your smartphones. Be ready to put it on down because Brennan is going to be bringing it. You know, I would like for our starting point to be something that you and I talked about last week when I called you a motivational speaker.
Okay.
And you said, no, Carl, not motivational speaker. Set the record straight for us.
Well, I'm not just a motivational speaker. As a matter of fact, what I do is extremely motivational, but I prefer to be referred to as an empowerment speaker. Motivation can be short-lived, but to give individuals the tools to empower their lives impacts their lives for a long time. And so dynamic living is an empowerment company, and it's very instrumental in helping people change their lives.
Mm, and that's what it's about, helping people change their lives. My guess is definitely we can see how somebody who's really kind of down and out needs change. But probably people who are doing okay and even people who are doing well could use some change in their lives.
Well, I believe everybody has room for improvement. As a matter of fact, the biggest room in our lives is the room for improvement. And the day we stop growing, the day we stop improving, the day we stop advancing, I believe that's the day we die. And so if you're not recognizing areas where you need to improve, it may be you're not living yet.
Mm. And so in order to live life to the fullest, so that we find life fulfilling, we need to be improving.
Exactly. And that's really what gave birth to my business, Dynamic Living. In 1982, we actually began, but officially incorporated in 1986. So we've been doing this for quite some time. But Dynamic Living is based on a biblical principle found in the Gospels, John 10:10, which says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. I believe God designed us. He created us to live full, wide open, exciting, exhilarating lives. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to go right in life, but it does mean that you will embrace every experience that life offers you, and you will glean from it as much good as you possibly can so that you can live what I call a dynamic life.
I like the fact that you help us deal with the real world. You mentioned, I'm not telling you that life is going to be a bed of roses, but I'll help you figure out how to deal with the bed. I'll help you to figure out how to deal with the garden that you picked the roses from.
Yeah, I explain it this way. I call it the rhythm of life. If you were looking at an EKG machine, mm-hmm. and there was just a long, steady line, you know what that means, right, Carl?
Oh, yeah. You're gone.
Yeah, you've expired.
Yes, sir.
And most people aspire to this smooth, unwavering, easy line of life. But that means you're not living. Life is filled with ups and downs. There are peaks and valleys. There are highs and lows. And every part of life helps to shape our experiences and shape us into the person that God intends for us to be. There's an old gospel song that said, nobody told us the road would be easy.
That's right.
And I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. Yes. Well, the reason you climb up on the rough side is because there's nothing to hold on to on the smooth side. Life's full of bumps. It's full of bruises. It's full of ups and full of downs. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we can get to living.
Mm. So even though we may be uncomfortable with some of those rough edges that we're dealing with as we climb up the rough side of the mountain, even though we may find ourselves sometimes afraid, not really knowing what's coming next, there's no need to get paralyzed?
No need at all. I'm currently reading a book that is inspiring me and encouraging me in many ways. And what caused me to read this book was the very first line in the book. It went like this. Stop living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death.
Mm.
And most of us live cautious.
Yes.
One of my dynamic living keys, Carl, says this. Don't take care. Take a chance. You know, often when we see people, we say to them, well, take care as we part and as we go out our separate ways. And our intentions are to say, you know, be safe, be well. May things go right for you until we meet again. And I do want you to be safe. I do want you to be well, but I also want you to take a chance. And all too often, we limit ourselves. We're not limited by other folk. We limit ourselves because we fail to take the necessary chances that will elevate our lives. And so we can't live in fear. We ought to live by faith. And faith helps you to embrace this dynamic life that I'm talking about.
It's interesting that you base it on scripture. Is there any difference between motivating, empowering people using scripture versus using that which is not scripture?
Well, I am a man of faith. As a matter of fact, my work career began in ministry. I pastored churches in throughout Texas and Ohio and Michigan. And so at my core, there is a spiritual foundation. And I believe everyone has to have a foundation. The Bible, I believe, is my guidebook. And the Bible sets in place principles upon which we can build our lives. And so every dynamic living principle or lesson that I teach is based on Bible principles because I believe the Bible is the source of all life.
So share with us, we're going to back up to pre-dynamic living.
Okay.
To take a look at Brennan Francois coming up as a child. Growing into a teenager, becoming a young adult. Paint a picture for us of what was shaping your life, shaping your character, shaping you then.
Thank you for asking that, Carl. I grew up in inner city New Orleans. I did grow up in a home where my mom and my dad were there. Dad was a hard worker. He'd bring home the money every Friday and give it to Mama. Mama was a great homemaker, and she made sure, you know, everything in the house was set in place. I grew up with two brothers, one on each side of me, Benjamin, my older brother, Byron, my younger brother. And I say older, younger, we're a year apart, each of us, and so we grew up together. And so I grew up with a sense of family and a sense of connection. Also in our home was my maternal grandmother, who was sight impaired. She was blind. And she's actually the first person that taught me scripture and helped me to recognize how practicing my faith makes a difference in my life. I went to public schools in New Orleans, and I had a wonderful public school experience. As a matter of fact, dynamic living began in Phillips Elementary School when my elementary school teacher gave us an assignment. She said to the class, I want you to draw what you see yourself doing in the future. And all the budding artists, Carl, went to work, and she would go by, and she'd see a guy, you know, with a uniform on making an arrest, and she knew that was a police. And another guy with a robe on with a gavel in his hand, and she knew that that was a judge. And there were other careers that people drew, but she came to me, and I had this big-headed stick man on my paper with long arms. And she said, Brennan, what is that? And I said, I'm not done yet. And those long arms reached beneath this line to a lot of little headed stick people.
Mm.
And those arms were pulling them up to the line where the big headed stick person was. And she came by and she said, Brennan, what is that? And I said, I'm not done yet. And so in the next frame, all those little headed stick people that had been pulled up to where I was, was now lifted up to a line above where I was. And they had humongous heads. Enormous heads, larger than mine could ever be. And the teacher came by again, Carl, and she said, Brennan, what is that? And I said, I don't know. All I know is I'm supposed to help find people where they are and help them become better, many of which are going to be better than even me myself. Mm-hmm. And so even in elementary school, I had an understanding that it was not just my job, Carl. I believe it's my calling to find people where they are and to help them become better, to do and to be better in every aspect of their life. And since 1982, A Dynamic Living has been able to do that for men, women, boys, and girls all across the globe. And so it began then.
That is interesting. So you caught the vision as a result of the teacher saying, draw what you're going to be, or had you captured that vision even before she said that?
I don't have a memory of that concept prior to her asking us to do that assignment. The first recollection I have is when she asked us to do that assignment. And when she did, that was the only thing that came to my mind. I didn't see myself playing sports, although I was a good athlete. I didn't see myself in the medical community. I didn't see myself in the law world or the business world. I saw myself helping lift human life.
Mm. And so as time went on, you drew this picture in what grade in elementary school?
That was sixth grade.
Sixth grade. So you drew it in sixth grade. Did you find yourself revisiting that picture, having thoughts about how that vision might come to life as time passed? And not as adult Brennan in his 30s, but in his preteens and his teens.
You know, when I look back on it, what I did discover is that throughout my life, I've always had a compassionate heart. I've always been instrumental in helping other people. My motto was, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live for thee. And I illustrated that even as an adolescent, as a teenager, and moving into my late teen years, I was always supporting my peers, supporting the elderly, supporting other people, and helping in every way I could. And so, but that was only in reflection. I'm not sure that I was aware of that along the way. So once I got through grade school and high school, I went to college. I went to Xavier University in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, by now, I'm thinking about making money more than anything else. And so yeah. I go to Xavier because my idea is I'm going to go to their school of pharmacy and become a legal drug dealer. I'm going to sell drugs legally as a pharmacist.
Yeah.
But once I got to Xavier, I took a class. It was a speech class. And surprisingly, at the end of my first speech, every student in the class, including the teacher, was standing on their feet applauding. And Carl, that happened every time I rendered a speech in class. And I began to think, maybe I'm supposed to do something that's related to public speaking. And so I thought, I know what it is. I'm supposed to be the next Dan Rather. I'm supposed to be in broadcasting. This face is supposed to be on TV. And so I began to pursue an education in communications. But that was not God's plan for me.
So what was the plan, ladies and gentlemen? Will you hang out with us and find out? We'll be right back.